Obviously, I've gone through Luke here, and there's three portions of Luke that have stood out to me, and I really appreciate it. And the subject before me tonight is something that has been very, very much on my heart for many years, actually. I remember back when I was a young Christian. Well, I'm still a young Christian, but I've been only saved for 11 years. Compared to some, many of you here have been saved for 50, 60 years, still very young Christian. But back when I was only a year saved, I remember this subject came up and it really touched me very much. And I believe it made a real big impact on my life. Back around 2009 at a conference. The subject that's before me tonight is sitting with Christ in communion. So there's three portions of Luke that have really stood out to me, and I want to start by reading Luke 8, verse 26. And we'll read a few verses there. Luke 8 and verse 26. And they arrived at a country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Verse 30, And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Now the first thing that I want to speak about here is sitting with Christ in salvation. He clothes us. So we have many subjects in the Bible that have a positional truth and also a practical truth to it. But tonight, first, I want to start with sitting with Christ in salvation. We get this here with this man who had the demons. Now, most of us, all of us most likely, we did not have any demons before we were saved. But I like to take this man as a picture of someone who was in darkness and who was in a very, very, very awful place. And you read this story in different gospels as well. In other gospels, you read about two men. Could have very well been the same story. But this one would focus maybe more on one of them. I'm not sure. But here it focuses on this one man, on an individual. And this man was indeed in a very, very, very bad place. And we also, and I like to take this man as exactly that, because we also, in times past, if you come to Matthew 4, verse 16, and talking about sitting with Christ, here in Matthew 4, verse 16, we read, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Here I like to see this as where we sat in the past. Just like this man who was in the tombs, Indeed, he was sitting in darkness in a very, very, very real physical way, indeed, and in a spiritual way. But so were all of us. In times past, we were sitting in darkness, complacent in our sin, loving our sin, just resting, as it were, in our sins, and having no thought of God, going about this world, enjoying the things of this world, enjoying the pleasures of sin. We sat in darkness. And that is where we sat in the past. We were naked and unfit for his presence, just like this man. He was naked. It says earlier in verse 27, it says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes." So he was naked. He wore no clothes. And we all have read how wonderful it is. We read later in verse 35, it says, "Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed." And it is so wonderful, because tonight, as we were in the past, just like this man, we were naked before God. We were in our sins. We were unfit for his presence. The Lord took us, and he, well, we'll get to that a little bit later, but I want to talk about the nakedness that we were in before, sitting in our sin and having no hope, in darkness and the shadow of death, just like this man. Indeed, we were. If you want to turn with me to Genesis 3, I'll just read Genesis 3 here. Genesis 3 and verse 7. It's another picture of our nakedness before God. Genesis 3 and verse 7. That is right after Eve sinned here, when she took and ate of that fruit. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard a voice, of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself." At this point, physically they were covered, because they had sewed fig leaves together and made themselves an apron. But here all of a sudden he says to God, as God comes along, he says, "I was naked." So he realized sin had brought forth, had made Adam realize, before God, I'm actually naked. For the first time, he realized, even though physically they were clothed at this point, they came before God, and all of a sudden, actually it says here in verse 11, "And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, and gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And so we leave it at that. But there's Adam, and he realizes before God he is naked indeed. But we read further in Genesis 3 and verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them." I love that. He clothed them. Which is a picture of Christ, obviously. We all love this picture. The coats of skin, which speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, substitution. He clothed us with his righteousness. And we come to Zechariah 3 verse 1. And we read about Joshua, the high priest. We've all appreciated this story here about how he was filthy, in filthy garments before the Lord. We read it here. Zechariah 3 and verse 1. "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." And I believe Joshua here would have been a representative of the whole nation of Israel and their state at this time before God. "And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garment from him." And unto him he said, "Behold," this is very, very beautiful here, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. So here we have Joshua the high priest representing Israel before the Lord. They were very, very much in their sin. As he says here, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did to us. He has taken away our sins, and he has clothed us with his righteousness. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. It is exactly what happened to this man here. Here he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he is clothed. And of course, I'm just taking this as a picture. This is exactly what happened positionally to this man. Here he was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus in heaven as well. And we'll get to that right away here. In Ephesians 2, Brother Jack did a very wonderful message on Ephesians 2 in earlier chapters to chapter 10. And it was a very good word, Brother. I really appreciate it on Sunday. Ephesians 2, verse 2, it reads, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or conduct in times past in the lusts of our flesh. So there we have, in verse 2, you have the world, you have the devil, the prince of the power of the air, and here you have the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So there you have us in our darkness, sitting in darkness. But God, what a wonderful, wonderful verse. It's one of the most amazing, as we heard on Sunday, it was one of the most amazing buts in the Bible. But God, what a tremendous, tremendous change we have here. But God, he is the one who took the initiative, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, where we sit now. So these are positional truth, tremendously, tremendously amazing truth. Where we sat in past, we sat in darkness, and we sat in the region and shadow of death. But here we are now sitting in the heavenlies in Christ. And this is tremendous, amazing stuff. This is truth that cannot be infringed upon. It is positional. It cannot be touched. It is untouchable. We are secure tonight. And that is so amazing. And we just love these positional truths that are so, so powerful. So like this demoniac at Gadara, he saves us and clothes us and takes us from the very depths. This is a true rags to riches story. And we all love those rags to riches stories. It's the most amazing story ever. And we have been found in this. Of all the people, I often marvel when I look around and I go to the mall and I go to the stores and I look around and I see how many of these people, and that should encourage evangelism for sure. But how many of these people know what I know? How many of these people are seated in the heavenlies in Christ? And you just marvel, for most likely many, 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 many of them, the bulk of them, would not know anything what you and I know. And tonight that should really make us appreciate where we are. And that will bring us to our next, this will bring us to our next point. So we've been talking about sitting with Christ in salvation. He clothes us and prepares us for his presence. But the next subject, this is the subject that has really that has been encouraging, has been a challenge to me the last month. And this has really, in a very real way, has been impressed upon me. I had another message prepared a while ago. I really enjoyed something, and had a small message prepared for that. And I was thinking, if ever I get asked, I would like to speak on this. But then all of a sudden, this came up, and Brother Ben Joel did a very good message there 2 weeks ago. I really appreciated that as well, and I kind of took away that message. But then this one was left here, and this was actually was really very much on my heart. Sitting with Christ in communion, he speaks to us. Luke 10, please. Let's turn to Luke 10 and verse 38. Luke 10 and verse 38. So we read from Luke 8 earlier. Now Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Excuse me. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So tonight I want to speak about the next portion here, sitting with Christ in communion. He speaks to us. Now, Martha and Mary are, you find Martha most of the time when you find her, other than John 11, John 12, you find her serving. Here you find her serving. There's something so beautiful about that, and we'll mention that first. There's something so beautiful about the ones, and when we have conference, when we have anything that comes up that needs to be done, you know there's certain people who always serve, and we are so thankful for them. And we thank you tonight, the ones of you who are very much have a servant character and a servant heart. It's very, very precious. And Martha is like that here. But we all can acknowledge that there's times when we serve, and I believe that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. I might be mistaken, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I believe, we all know that we sometimes serve, I believe all of us have done this, where we might have been out of wrong motives, and we might not have done it with a joyful heart and all that. And it could be taken away. We know that. At the judgment seat of Christ, our service, of course, will be tested and rewarded, and some of it will be burned. So that is one part here that I want to mention. But Mary of Bethany, I really appreciated her recently. I think she is my favorite character of all the Marys. There's five Marys I found in the New Testament. You find there's Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. She's a wonderful woman, godly woman. And then you find Mary of Bethany. This is this Mary here. You find her a few times. And then you find Mary Magdalene, which is Mary from Magdala, and she's also a very, very amazing woman of God as well. And you find her after the death of Christ, you find her there. And also Mary, the mother of James the Less, she's usually with Mary Magdalene as well. And then you have Mary, the mother of John Mark in Acts. So there's, I think that's all of them. There's five Marys, very common name. But here you come to this Mary, and this is something that's very powerful, and that is what has made a difference in what I said earlier. Back in 2009, I was maybe saved for a year, maybe a year and a half or so, and I remember I loved being saved, and as Brother Jack said on Sunday, that I hope. And praise the Lord, we are saved. And that is something to be very much, very much appreciated every day. That is very, very powerful. But I hope we don't just stay there. And I remember there was a message by my father-in-law. And he spoke on this very subject. As he speaks a lot on this subject, he appreciates this very much. But I remember it very much spoke to me. And I remember making a specific choice. At that time, I decided, I absolutely need, if I want to be anything for God, I need to spend time with my Savior. One-on-one time. That's really what I want to talk about is we all know that there's this 24/7 relationship that we have. The Bible often speaks about that. Even sitting at the table sometimes speaks about that relationship, sitting at the table, 24/7 relationship that we have with the Lord. And we know that's a subject in itself. We know that we should meditate throughout the day and pray to the Lord throughout the day, that relationship. But what I want to speak about tonight is that good part, sitting at the feet with our Savior one-on-one. And I think we'll all agree that that is probably the most important thing as Christians. And we all know that us who do have that habit, it's a very good habit to have, at least once a day, maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening, whatever is your preference. There's no formula, of course. But to have that daily time set aside with just us in Christ. And there's something that, and we all know that when that doesn't happen, and we can kind of sense it. We feel it. We know it. That we haven't, the flesh becomes weak in a very real way. The world becomes more attractive. The devil has, for sure, more of an impact on us. But here is Mary, and she's sitting at the feet of Christ. And there's a verse in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, it says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand." And this is what I want to read here. "And they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words." I'm not sure if Mary had ever read these verses. It was very much what she did. She sat down at his feet and she received of his words. So, but the amazing thing that I love about this, I want to bring this out tonight, is a different emphasis of the reason why we do this. It's not out of obligation, of course, or out of, in any sense, legalism. Or making it out as a work or anything, but it is because he loves us. And that's how the verse in Deuteronomy 33, verse 3 starts. "The Lord loveth the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words." We do it in response to his tremendous love, as we read in Ephesians. His great love wherewith he loved us. And we were seated in the heavenlies. We were sitting in time past in darkness, in the shadow of death. Now we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. What love, what great love, as we read. What great love wherewith he loved us. That is the response of our hearts, is we want to spend time with the one. We want to get to know the one who has done such tremendous things, came down from heaven to die for me personally. Oh, our hearts should be refreshed with this. And this is why, this is the reason why. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, he says it himself, Mary did not say, "I have chosen that good part." The Lord Jesus Christ says, she has chosen that good part. And it's the one thing that is needful. Service is, of course, we all know service is needful. But the Lord Jesus Christ says here, maybe Martha was being more extravagant than she needed to be. We don't know what the story behind this is. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Mary, what she is doing, this is what I long for. This is what I long for. I long for this. As I died, he died for that. He died that we might. This is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." It's a relationship, strengthening that relationship with our Savior one-on-one time. Like Mary, what better way to get to know our Savior than hearing his word? She sat at his feet. And she heard his word. And that is tremendous. Of course, prayer is super, super, super important as well. We know that. But to sit there and get to know the Lord Jesus, get to know our Savior through listening to his word. So dear brother, dear sister, tonight, that is something that I want to encourage each one of us. It's been a tremendous challenge. Of course, I'm first speaking this to myself. It's been very much a huge, huge even burden on my heart to go in for these things. And with that, I want to encourage each of us to do this as well. And so we find Mary is, as I talked earlier, the reason why Mary is such a wonderful woman is all three times you read about her in Luke, you read about her in Luke 10, in John 11, in John 12, all three times you read about her, she is sitting at the feet, or not sitting, sorry, she's found at the feet of Christ. She is sitting here in Luke 10, she is sitting at the feet. In John 11, she is, and we'll read that actually. And that is something that actually very much touched me as well. She's weeping at his feet. So we'll turn to John 11 here. Just a little side note of Mary. John 11, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then we read further, actually, that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. To us who are grieving here, to Brother Duncan and Chris, many of us who have been going through dark times in our lives, even recently, whoever is going here through a dark time tonight, who is grieving, who is suffering, who is going through darkness, let us come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because communion leads to, the more we get to know our Savior, the more comfortable we are with Him. And the more we're willing to weep before Him. I find in my life, the most best release, if I can say it like that, or best way of getting comfort is weeping with the Lord Jesus in His presence. Coming before Him in all my problems, all my darkness even. And coming before Him and just crying out to Him, letting everything that we are feeling out to Him, weeping with Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is so tender, because what happened here with Mary, He came and she wept, and then He wept. He was touched. He was touched by the feeling of her infirmity. We all know this verse here. A very, very precious verse. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. As Robert Thompson once said, it is impossible for him not to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't this what Mary did? This is exactly what she did. She, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew she was grieving. What did He do? He called for her. Martha went back to her and said, He said, the Master is come and calleth for thee. In her grief, He called for her to come. He calleth for thee. He knew she was going through this dark time. He asked her to come. Lord, tonight, dear brother and sister, if you're going through a dark time, if you have anything that you're going through that's very, very much affecting you, that's very much discouraging you, come before Him. He longs for that. He longs for you to come. And what did He do with Mary? He wept with her. He was touched. But let us not limit Him. Because I feel like Mary and even Martha, they did not see, in a sense, what the Lord Jesus Christ was capable of. They said, if you would have been here, He would not have died. If you would have been here, He would not have died. As if it was too late. But it wasn't too late. He was going to do things that was going to... Actually, He stayed back, even though He loved them so much. I believe it's in John 11. Yeah, it's in John 11 where it says He loved them. He loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And I find that very, very touching. Martha is always serving, but yeah, it mentions her name there as the first one whom He loved. He loved her. But then it mentions Mary, and it says her sister. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't show favoritism. No matter where we are in our Christian walk, if we are sanctified, if we're not sanctified, even if we're carnal, and we're not walking the way that we should, he loves, he truly does love every one of us the same. And that's something that's very beautiful about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is so, he does not show favoritism. He is so faithful to all of his people. So in our times of need, let us come to Christ and weep with him. John 12, verse 3, we get to another point of where Mary is found at his feet. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary was one of the very few people that believed that the Lord Jesus was going to die. She was one of the very few people. I know the disciples didn't, because she did this unto his burial, we read. Lord Jesus Christ, it touched the Lord Jesus Christ so much what Mary did here. She used up a year's worth wages, this ointment that she put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it touched the Lord Jesus Christ so much that she says wherever the gospel is preached, she will be mentioned as a memorial to her. This worship, here we find Mary worshiping the Lord Jesus. We find her sitting at his feet. We find her weeping at his feet. It's almost a progression. And we find her worshiping at his feet. And so Mary, that's why Mary is such a nice picture of a Christian who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She loved the Lord Jesus. And now here she is worshiping him. And she did it unto his burial. She was one of the disciples. It seems like many of them did not believe that he was going to die. But here is Mary, and she knows, she trusts him. She knows what he says is true. When he says he is going to die, she believes that he is going to die. And she does it unto his burial. And it's a tremendous, tremendous worship that she has. She's trusting him. She's worshiping him. In another gospel you read, I believe this is in three gospels. Another gospel you read how she puts it on his hair as well, on his head and on his feet. So she is anointing him for a burial. And Mary Magdalene does it. She comes to the Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Salome. They come there very early. But that's on resurrection morning. Christ is risen. And they come there with spices, wanting to do it for his burial. But here Mary did it ahead of time. She was in faith, anticipating this. And they were a little bit too late, but she was a tremendous woman of faith. So she's sitting with Christ in communion. And this is something we want to appreciate tonight, that he speaks to us, sitting with Christ in communion. And the Lord Jesus Christ is of course, we know that he is always the best example. And he is the one that we find in Mark 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed unto a solitary place, and there prayed. Find that in Mark 1, verse 35. Luke 6, verse 12, it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And then in John 6, verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to him to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So here he is, great while before day, all night in prayer, continued from evening, right, all night. And another time, right during the day, he took time aside from the crowd and went into a mountain and departed himself alone. Departed into the mountain himself alone. And so here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, it's not a formula, but it's important, I think, as Christians. If we want to be, if we want to have power over sin, if we want to have worship, and we all would agree, if you want to worship Sunday morning, and you don't want to just stand up Sunday morning with nothing and start worshiping. You want to spend time at his feet in private, and you want to worship in private. And whatever what you gain there, you want to take in Sunday morning and worship him. So sitting with Christ in communion, he speaks to us. The third one I speak about, so we spoke about sitting with Christ in salvation, he clothes us as his position, this past. It's something that cannot be touched. But in the practical part of it, sitting with Christ in communion, Mary sitting at his feet, he speaks to us, hearing his word. Now we'll turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as they sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? What an amazing thing that would have been walking there. It would be even more amazing if he knew it was the Lord Jesus. They didn't know it was the Lord Jesus there. But here he was opening the scriptures to them. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? But here he is in Luke 24, verse 30, sitting at meat with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. And here we have sitting with Christ in communion again. He reveals himself to us. So before that, he speaks to us, and now he reveals himself to us. So before that, he speaks to us. He teaches us who he is. He shares with us who he is. And here, he shows us who he is. He reveals himself to us. And how many of us have many times sat, and I'll be honest, sometimes you walk away from even from his presence, and you did not get a nugget, if I can say that. You did not get anything too much out of it. You feel like you didn't get too much out of it. But all those times when you're sitting there and he reveals himself to us, I think that's by far to me the most amazing thing in life. When you're sitting there and he shows himself to us, he reveals himself to us. You're reading there and you're like, he opens for you the scriptures as these people here. You're sitting there, even though you're reading the Word of God and all that, but all of a sudden, something that was there all along, just like the Lord Jesus Christ was there with them all along. How could I have never seen this? This is beautiful. We talk about that as how the scriptures are alive. The Word of God is so alive. He speaks to us through that. And so that is something that is so, so powerful. And what happens? What happens to them here? They actually turn around. The day is far spent. It is towards evening. After Lord Jesus Christ disappears, they turn around in the evening, late at night, as it were, and they walk back to Jerusalem. That is how much this impacted them. And us in our lives, when he reveals himself to us, isn't it the same? Like when he reveals himself to us, we have to share. And let us do this. When we come together, even Sundays, whenever we see each other, let us share the things that he has revealed to us. And of course, we acknowledge that we talked to Brother Jack on Sunday. Sometimes you think when something is, let us be aware, if it's too new, it's most likely not true, because sometimes we have to be aware of things that we find out that we think no one has ever seen it. Of course, it has been seen. So that is something I want to encourage us with tonight. What else happens at his feet? Or in communion with him. So we're sitting with Christ in salvation. He clothes us and prepares us to be in his presence. And tonight, if you're not saved, that is first and foremost, the most important thing is that you come and you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and your filthy garments, as it were, your nakedness will be covered up with the robes of righteousness, the garments of salvation. You might be fitted for his presence positionally, justified, righteous, being made righteous, declared righteous in Christ. But then we come to Mary sitting at his feet, and we have communion with Christ. He speaks to us. Here we have Christ sitting with Christ in communion. Again, he reveals himself to us. But also what happens there, what happens in his presence as well? He cleanses us. And I enjoy this thought here from John 13, 4 to 8. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We all know that it's also two different aspects of this. There's the positional truth there, and there's the practical truth, judicial. We have bathing. He talks about bathing as well. He that is bathed need not to wash himself again. But here we're talking about this portion right here is with me. Now this is fellowship. In his when we're in his presence, with his word, we are washed. And we also wash one another when we share the word of God with us. This is a whole feet washing, I believe that's what he's talking about. When we share the word of God with each other, we're getting cleansed by the scriptures. But at his feet, we're also being cleansed from the defilement of sin that we're so in contact with. As we read in Ephesians, we've been saved from that. We've been saved from the world. We've been saved from the devil, and we've also been saved in a sense. We have power now over the flesh, if we yield to that, to the Spirit. But here we have, we need this time with God, but to be cleansed from the defilement. We're still in this world, even though we're seated in Christ in the heavenlies. We're still in this world and need to be cleansed, because every day as we walk about, we know we work in places that are sometimes very, very much ungodly and sinful, and we get defiled. Even by our own flesh, we get defiled. Our thoughts sometimes. We need to be cleansed in his presence. And when we're cleansed, we can have fellowship with him. It's so beautiful, so powerful. So that is what I want to speak tonight, in his presence. His presence is so wonderful. And tonight, dear brother, dear sister, let us go to him and sit with him every day. Take time aside with just me and my Savior and learn of him. And he's going to show himself. He's going to show us his word. He's going to show himself to us. And therefore, we can go on in this world being more like the one who we spend time with. So sitting with Christ in salvation, he clothes us. Sitting with Christ in communion, he speaks to us. Sitting with Christ in communion, he reveals himself to us. And I want to leave with this. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Let us speak to the Lord in prayer.